Well, this morning we looked at becoming God's champion. We looked at Moses and the struggle that he had in the wilderness, how it would require him to have 40,000 tons of wood and 15,000 tons of food, 18 million gallons of water for one day for all the Israelites to be able to enjoy so that they could go another day. They wandered around aimlessly for 40 years before God allowed them to go into the wilderness after all of the unbelievers died. We looked at the life of Saul, how Saul was a true champion for God, how he was raised a Hebrew of Hebrews of the tribe of Benjamin. And he, as a young Jewish boy, would have to learn and commit to memory the entire Pentateuch, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So you know that he was raised as a zealot. He was raised as an extremist. He was raised as a radical. And anyone outside the Jewish faith was somebody that was worse than a dog. Not even worthy of speaking to. That's why when he was standing there at the stoning of Stephen, the Bible tells us that the men that stoned Stephen laid their coats down at the feet of a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. He was in the midst of everything that would go against Christianity. He thought he was doing God's work. He thought he was God's champion. And he would go to the synagogue, to the high priest, and there he would get extradition papers to go to Damascus, 150 miles away, and hunt down Christians, whether they were men or women, to bring them bound back to Jerusalem, to stand trial for blasphemy. En route to Damascus, the Bible tells us there was a great light that shone from the heavens. And he fell to the ground. And he recognized that this was a superpower, that this was something out of the norm. This was something that he had never seen before. And that's why he asked the question, "Who are you, Lord?" He knew that an average person could not do that. And so he had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ. And Jesus answered him and said, "I am Jesus whom you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." Saul was having an experience, and it was at that point that God called him to be his champion. It was at that point that God was moving in his life so that he would realize that he was going against God rather than doing what God wanted him to do. So we've looked at the character of a sinner, how there is a persistence, and how he persecuted the Christians. He would do whatever he could possibly do to stop this new movement of Christianity because he was convinced it was against the things of God. Well, it did. It went against the law of Moses. It actually fulfilled the law of Moses. But to him, it was going against it because now, why, it didn't matter what you ate. You could eat anything. You didn't have to observe weeks or Sabbaths because now you were living under a new set of rules. So he was truly persecuting the Christians. We also saw the conversion into a saint. How he had actually, it was a revelation of Christ. You know, when you come face to face with Jesus Christ, you will never be the same. The things that matter to you will no longer matter. Your objective will no longer matter. Whenever you come face to face with Jesus, regardless of if you're singing a hymn, regardless if you're in a Sunday school class, regardless if you're sitting listening to a preacher preach, when you come face to face with Jesus Christ, you will never be the same. We also saw that it was through a request for conversion that Paul was wanting to know, I should say Saul was wanting to know, what he needed to do. Well, what is it you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do about this? What am I supposed to take home from this? What am I supposed to learn from this? And so we saw that this morning. Well, tonight we're going to look at the commission for a servant. Paul has been on the road. He's blind. He's been led to Damascus. And now we see that there's a challenge for a fearful man. Look with me, please, at verse 10 of our main text. Verse 10 of our main text. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into a street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prays. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on your name. But the Lord said unto him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. This was a challenge for a fearful man. God always requires us to leave our comfort zone. God will never ask us to do anything that we can accomplish. I'm going to say that again. God never asks us to do anything we can accomplish, because if he did, if he asked us to do something that we can accomplish, when it's accomplished, we're the ones that are glorified instead of him. No, he always asks us to do something that is outside of our comfort zone. He asks us to do something that is beyond our own ability, so that when it is fulfilled, when it is said and done, he is the one that gets glorified and not us. Here we see Ananias. He is a fearful man. Why? Because he has heard how bad Saul is. Why? He was standing at the stoning of Stephen. This man has walked 150 miles in order to arrest Christians. This is a bad dude. He is a terrorist. He is a radical. He is an extremist. You know, even religious people, people that are God-fearing, feel like they have to give God counsel from time to time. Do you know what I'm talking about? Feel like they need to fill God in on the gaps that God may not know about. Do you remember Moses when God called him at the burning bush? I want you to go to Egypt. And there I want you to speak to Pharaoh and set the children of Israel free. Yeah, but I don't speak well. Maybe you didn't know that, God. Isn't God omniscient? That means he's all-knowing. Isn't God all-knowing? Absolutely. So here's Ananias. He's doing the same thing. Well, God, maybe you hadn't heard about Saul lately. You know, he's a radical extremist from Jerusalem. He's got extradition papers. And he has come to Damascus to arrest everyone that calls upon your name. Maybe you just didn't know that. I thought I would tell you. Many times, when God is speaking to us, yes, we know it's God. Yes, we know what He wants. And because we know what He wants, we realize it's something beyond our ability. And we think for a moment that we just have to give God some counsel. We think for a moment that we need to say, God, you know, I just don't have the ability to do that. I haven't gone to school for that. I don't know about that. Do you think that's what God wants in our lives, is for us to try to counsel Him? No. But see, that's what a fearful man does. Ananias was fearful because he knew about this Saul. He had heard other people talking about how bad this guy was, that he had extradition papers to arrest and bind men, women, children, and take them back to Jerusalem so that they could stand at trial for blasphemy. Ananias was a godly man. It's at this point that God is moving in Ananias' life, that God is saying to Ananias, Ananias, I want you to be my champion. I want you to do what no one else is willing to do. I want you to go where you don't want to go. I want you to speak to a man that you don't want to speak to. Ananias, I want to use you as an example. I want you to be my champion. So Ananias, in all of his counsel, decides that, well, evidently God knows about Saul. Evidently, God wants me to do this. I really don't want to, but I guess I'll do it anyway. Have we ever been there? Many times. Many, many times. I remember when I was first saved, Kathy and I became very regular at Open Door Baptist Church, taking our family there, and everything was just fine, and we had been baptized in February, and here it was in late summer, and the pastor comes to me and says, we want you to teach Vacation Bible School. It's like, little kids? He said, no, the youth. It was like, what? No, certainly not. No, 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 no. There are many other people that are better qualified than me. He says, yeah, I know, but you're it. You're the one. You need to do it. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll pray about it. Oh, that was the worst thing I could have done. Because God confirmed in my heart that He wanted me to teach the youth at Vacation Bible School. And I thought, you know, well, it's just for 5 evenings. I can do that. It's not a big deal. I can study the material and I can present the material and I'll have fun, the youth will have fun, and it'll just be a great time. And so I did that. And I really enjoyed it. I learned a lot. You know, when you're forced to study, you learn a lot. Amen? You learn a lot when you are forced to study. Well, after Vacation Bible School, the pastor comes to me and says, you know, because their year is very similar to ours, you know, Vacation Bible School's at the end of summer, and then pretty soon the nominating committee gets together, and they start deciding who's going to be Sunday school teachers and so forth. Well, Open Door was doing that. And he says, I think that you need to be the new youth Sunday school teacher. It's like, no, no. I don't know, no, no, no. There are a lot of other people that are better qualified than me. I did Vacation Bible School, that was 5 nights. I agreed to that, but not this. No, no, no. He goes, Yeah, you are. It's like, can't I even pray about it? He goes, no, you don't need to. It's a done deal. I already put your name down, he said. It's like, that's just not right. He said, well, he says, we need someone that's going to be able to relate with the youth, and you did so well for VBS. I said, so you wouldn't be asking me if I had just fallen flat on my face during Vacation Bible School. He just smiled at me, says, you're it. It's like, that's just not right. So I would study every week for the Sunday school lesson, and for a couple years there, I was their teacher and youth director. And then Pastor Jim would call me one Wednesday afternoon and say, hey, I'm not going to be there Wednesday night. You need to fill in for me. No, 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 no. Now we're talking adults. No, no. There's a lot of other men that could do this better than me. He goes, no, he says, you need to do this. It's like, no, no. And I'd argue with him like I would my father. And he wouldn't take no for an answer, so I studied up. And he said, just kind of study up. He says, you know where we're at in Bible study. Just go through as much as you can go through. He says, I'll pick it back up next week. Okay. You know, and everybody was encouraging. I was fearful. Oh, I was a follower of God, but I was fearful because I was outside my comfort zone. And then Brother Jim called me one Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And he says to me, well, I'm stuck in Springfield. I'm not going to be able to make it back in time to preach, so you need to preach for me tonight. I was like, no, 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 that's just wrong. No, Carl could do that much better than I could. No, no, I'm not going to ask Carl. I'm asking you. And no, well, you're asking me. You need to be able to accept the answer then. And the answer is no. And he says, well, I'm not going to accept the answer because I'm going to change my request to, you're going to do it, to a command. Well, I got up and he told me, you know, you just need to pick out a favorite verse that means a lot to you and talk about how it had an impact in your life, the change it's made in your life, how that change came to be in your life, and how people's lives can be changed through that. That's what you just need to do. He said, you can do it. No, I don't want to do that. I was a fearful man. That's what Ananias was going through. He was out of his comfort zone. He was in an area that he never had been before, as far as his relationship with God. And he was so fearful because he had heard about Saul. And besides that, who wants to go to their enemy and help their enemy? Help the bad guy. Help the guy that wants to arrest them. Who does that? So Ananias agreed. We also see the choice of a faithful minister. Look at verse 15 with me. But the Lord said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto you in the way as you came, has sent me, that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Here we see the choice. Ananias did what he was supposed to do. See, when the king commands something, the servant obeys. Amen? If the servant doesn't obey, it's because he's truly not a servant. That's why Ananias had this discussion with God and said, hey, this is a real bad guy. I don't feel comfortable going over there and doing those things. And God says, go your way, because he's a chosen vessel unto me. I have chosen him to be a champion for me. And now I'm choosing you to be that champion for me, so that you can go and lay your hands on him and he might receive his sight. Oh, the choice of a faithful minister. We all have choices. Choices. Are we going to do what God says? Are we going to be the people that God wants us to be? Are we going to be God's champion here in Eastview? Are we going to be that champion that reaches out to the community and brings the lost to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Are we going to truly become God's champion? A faithful minister, a servant, says yes. And that's who Ananias is. He's a faithful minister. He's willing to go the extra mile. He's willing to do what God wants him to do, regardless of how he himself feels. Well, lastly, we need to see not only the commission for a servant, but the call to service. The call to service is, first of all, to preach Christ. Notice verse 19 with me, please. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? And came here for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? We all have a message to share. We all have a testimony that we can tell. And no one can ever argue with what God has done in your life. And when we share what God has done in our lives, we are preaching Christ. Now, the pastor may never ask you to stand in the pulpit for him. And some of you are going to go, thank the Lord. Although I might someday. When Jim asked me that afternoon to do that, I was very, very uncomfortable. In weeks following that, he would tell me, you need to get some messages. Put some messages together so that at a moment's notice I can call you and you can stand in the pulpit for me. So I did what he said. I put some messages together. It was mainly verses that spoke to my heart, how God had changed my life, how God had changed my family's life. The first message I preached was on, guess what passage? Exodus 14:14. The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. I spoke for 45 minutes on that. While I was doing it, everything was fine. But I'll tell you what, before that, I was a basket case. Open Door was not a big church, but I respected every individual in that church because they'd all been there when I came. and I was the newbie on the block, how can I stand in the pulpit and preach to them? It's all about what God does in our lives. And what God does in our lives is what makes us a champion for Him. So as I would preach, in a couple weeks I would preach again. He'd call me to preach. And in a couple more weeks He'd call me again and I would preach for Him. And then He said, He called me after the third or fourth time and said, I just want you to preach. And I said, are you going to be gone? He goes, no, I'm going to be there. Yeah, what? If you're going to be there, you preach. No. He says, I want to hear you because I've had some good reports. No, you haven't had good reports. They're lying. I don't like to do that. I'm not comfortable being on stage. And to this day, I'm still not comfortable being on stage. I'm just not comfortable. The only way that I can ever get through it is to rely upon God to speak to me and to speak through me and to say what He wants to say rather than what I have planned on saying. And when you look at my sermons, many times there's a lot of stuff there that was never said because God separates the meat from the bone. First thing that He wants us to do is to preach Christ, and that means to share what God has done in our individual lives, because no one can argue with that. Then we see that we need to prove Christ. In closing, look with me at verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. That this is the very Christ. Paul increased in power. And what Paul was showing is his relationship that he was in with Jesus Christ. And that Jesus was the one that he was speaking about, and therefore Jesus was the one that was empowering him. That's why he was increasing in strength. That's why he was increasing in confidence. Today I started my first Sunday of my sixth year. It's been good 5 years, amen? It's been a good ride. I asked Kathy when we got in the truck something that I haven't asked her for years. I said, what'd you think about that message? She says, why are you asking me? You haven't asked me that question for years. And I said, well, that's because there are times when I have a struggle focusing on what God wants me to say. And I said, I really struggled this morning. She says, well, you couldn't tell it. I said, I don't care if you could tell it or not. I struggled this morning. See, I used to preach and never think about what I was currently saying. I was thinking about where I was going, what I was going to say. I never was focusing on what I was speaking at the time. And there would be times that I would misspeak. I would call Saul Paul or something like that. Or I would say that Moses, when he was in the ark. Oh, that was Noah, wasn't it? Yeah, I would do things like that from time to time. And I guess I'm coming down with some timers. But I do have a focus problem because now I have to split my focus on not only what I'm where I'm going, but what I'm currently saying, so I can make sure I'm saying it right, the way God wants it said, the way He wants it said, the words that He wants to be used. Paul increased in strength because of the strength and power of Jesus Christ. And he was proving his relationship to those Christians that were there at Damascus. And they would all kind of murmur and say, isn't this the guy that came to arrest us? How can God make such a change in someone's life? He was proving Christ. He was proving Christ in his own life. And I believe to be God's champion, we need to prove Christ. We all need to be out of our comfort zone so that we can allow God to lead us places we've never gone before. To be individuals that are teaching classes that we have never taught before. To run ministries that we have never run before. That's why God is wanting us to become His champion, so that He can use us in new ways that He's never been able to use us before. That's why Saul was changed and increased in power and strength, because of his relationship. That he had with Jesus Christ. I would dare say that Saul was forced to go back and relearn that Pentateuch and to see Christ in all of it, to see Christ in those sacrifices, to see Christ as everything was burned, the sacrifice was burned in the incense, the prayers, how the whole tabernacle was set up, to see Christ in all of that. And to know that it's that same Christ that he met on the road to Damascus. That's what God is wanting in each and every one of our lives. So I ask you tonight a very important question. God calls each and every one of us to be His champion so that we can truly lead others to Christ. Who do we know that is without Christ? Who do we know that's struggling in a relationship? Maybe it's a marital relationship. Maybe it's a relationship with their children. Who do we know that's going through a difficult time of separation? Who do we know that's lost a loved one recently? Who do we know that just needs to have an arm put around their shoulder to have a few comforting words from God's champions? Because I believe that when we do that, it's not about preaching the word from the pulpit. It's not about teaching. It's about being his hands, his feet, and his mouth, so that we can truly prove Christ in our own lives. And when we do that, we will begin the process of becoming God's champion. Let's pray. Father God, you are so good to call each and every one of us, to call us to be your champion. We are so thankful that you have done that. And Father, in the weeks to come, as we look to your word so that we can embellish, that we can digest all that you have done in the lives of your people, that we can see how you wanted them to be a champion for you. And Father, we pray that we might truly see what you are doing in our lives and in each other's lives around us. We pray now that you will dismiss us this Sunday night, that we might go from this place and that we might truly go as your champion. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.